Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you for your grace and your love, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, you remember us when we were in darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, with a heart full of gratitude, we come in your presence to return thanks and give glory and praise unto your name tonight, Lord. For you are deserving, oh God, of all that we can offer. We come offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. Oh God, lifting our voices to give you praise and honor and glory. For thy loving kindness is better than life. Hallelujah. Our lips shall praise thee, Lord. Just will we bless you, and we will lift up our hands in thy name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Blessed be your name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. How many thank God for the lighthouse? You really glad to know you're walking in the light tonight? Amen. We can have fellowship with him and his blood cleansing us from all sin. Friends, if you could remember your days of darkness, you'd be so thankful for the light. Amen. If you remember the agony, the frustration, the depressions, the loss outside there, don't know where to go, what to do. Amen. The world couldn't satisfy. There was nothing the world could even offer you. You tried everything that they had to try and it still was dissatisfied. Amen. You was calling for something and then Jesus came. Amen. How many still have the joy tonight? The joy to serve God. Amen. Praise be his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. How many know he still grows sweet as the days go by? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Amen. Brother, you hold fast to that. God will give you something. Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you who kept it, amen, who work with it, surely he's making you mount up in this hour, making you rise above everything the devil could throw in your way. Amen. I tell you, when you have something real, you have something real. The devil can do what he wants. Amen. Hallelujah. There's something in the Christian to rise above that by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh man, we have something that this world can't buy, this world can't offer. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. I tell you, friends, some of us need to get back to Calvary. Some of us need to remember how Jesus loved us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I don't think there's nothing this world can turn aside a Christian if you have seen the love of God to you. Amen. If you have come into his presence and you know that he's real, you know that his word is true. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. That is what it takes. Sometimes people think it's some great big something you have, something they think it's some special favor. Sometimes they think maybe you just have it easy. Amen. But it's because you know he's real. Amen. You know his blood is fresh. Hallelujah. You know what? He cares. Amen. And when we can come in his presence and we can worship him and get in the spirit. Amen. As Paul said, when I sing, I want to sing in the spirit. Amen. When I speak, I want to speak in the spirit. Whatever I do, I want to do it in the spirit. Because our flesh profited nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, you got to get in God's presence. Amen. You got to empty yourself out and give yourself over unto him. And then it makes a difference. Amen. Then it makes a difference. Then you feel the difference. Glory be to God. Blessed be his name. Amen. I just love him tonight and know he's real. Glory be to God. His word is real, friends. Let me tell you, some people trying to come to church, some people trying to make it, but there's people becoming the living word because they was ordained to become this word. Amen. Let me tell you, trials is nothing to a Christian. Everybody have the trials and the testings, but do you know who you are? Amen. That makes a difference when you in your trials. If you are trials and you don't know who you are, you're going to be frustrated. Amen. But if you are trials and you know who you are, then you know God is using these things even to bring you to that perfection in this hour. Blessed be his wonderful name. And when you know that, you can praise him. You can praise him in the morning. You can praise him in the noontime. You can praise him wherever you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. We have a couple of prayer requests. You want to remember these requests. And how many have a special need tonight? Amen. They may have a special need that you want God to meet. Amen. Friends, let me tell you, God cares. God sees your hands when they raise up there. And God sees a need in your heart. And just when the question was put to you, it had to pass to your mind. Do you have a need and do you believe? Do you believe? Amen. You know, that's what life is all about. Every moment you have to believe. But not every moment faith is there. But sometimes you find yourself in a place and you want to believe. You want to have faith. And God sees you making an effort. You remind yourself, He's true. He cares. Amen. I believe I'm going to stand and hold fast to His word. And when God sees that, the Holy Spirit just picks you up a little higher. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith makes a difference. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let us pray for the ruler, who's requesting prayer for his friend who is afflicted. Sometimes it's easier to bring a request than bring our friend. But may God give us faith to bring our friend, not bring our friend's requests. Amen. A greater faith is to bring your friend. They brought their friend, they opened the door, they dropped their friend in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus saw the faith that they had for the friend. Amen. Let me tell you, that's the kind of way we ought to be. Let the scripture strike you in your heart, man. Amen. Sometimes we need to step out and believe with a little extra faith. We need to have a little more extra power to bring conviction upon people. Amen. God ain't called us to reason with people. God called us to bring conviction upon people, man. Put the word before the people. Amen. Do you believe? Then come in the presence of God. I'll take you where God is real. I'll take you where God's word operates. Amen. I will take you where there are believers. Amen. Let us break through that place. Don't let us have enough conviction to say, you know, God's in a prophet, you know, and in 1962, the prophet, some angels meet them, and that ain't good for now, friends. If you see that and God make God real to you, then your friends see God real in you. You want to come where you are. You want to drink from the fountain you're drinking from. Amen. You want to be cleansed by the blood that could cleanse you if He knew what you was. Amen. Hallelujah. God is not historical facts, friends. God is a living God now. There is no disregard to the message. That is the same as saying Moses is history. Amen. All them things is history. But God is real here right now. He's not I was. He's I am that I am. And I may not look like much to you, but when you look, you gotta have faith that it's the same God gather here. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You gotta have faith that these people here are believers. Amen. You have to have faith that we're not just having an intellectual gathering, but it's believers gathered to feed upon the word. Because where the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. Amen. And if there's real eagle faith there, amen. And the great Jehovah Eagle himself is in the midst. Then let me tell you, that is just as good as whether the prophet is here. Amen. Whether Moses and John the Baptist and Elijah, whether God gathered all of them here in the flesh, that is just as good as that. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why Peter, Paul going to tell you about Peter. He said, God respect no man person. Let me tell you, God didn't respect Brother Branham person. No, sir. Hallelujah. Because flesh and blood profited nothing. He had to have faith in the word like anybody else. The same way we have to have faith. He didn't tell us to bring his person. He told us to have faith in the message he preached. Amen. That's why we stand for you abide in me and my word abide in you. Ask what you will. Sometimes that's hard for people because it puts their faith in a greater place. See? It makes them know they have to stand for themselves. You have to stand for yourself. Glory be to God. No, you're not going through some body experience, friends. No. You have to believe God the same way. Is what think you of Christ? What think you of this message? Is it good for now? Is it still good? Is it still real? Amen. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, when you could believe with real faith, then the real God comes on the scene and brings real things to pass. Then you know God is a reality for your own self. By the grace of God, that is nothing but the truth tonight. Amen. Let us have faith and pray. Glory be to God in the highest. Blessed be His wonderful name. We thank you, Jesus. God, just speaking these few words to Let the people know we don't serve a historical God, but we serve a God who is I am that I am. Hallelujah, as great as you ever was. Blessed be your wonderful name. Faith wants to know you personally, Lord, because faith cannot depend on another experience. God, I pray that that is the kind of attitude that's in every heart here tonight. And as we stand in your presence, Lord God, we're going to realize that faith is a rugged thing, Lord. Faith holds fast to the word and cannot be shaken off regardless of circumstances. Faith believes, knowing it's impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that where that faith is lacking, the Holy Spirit will let that faith fall into the hearts of those who desire that faith. Those, Lord, who's hungering and thirsting for that faith. Those, Lord, who don't want to just live with some intellectual conception, but those who understand and believe. Hallelujah. And see God become personalized in their own lives. I pray, dear God, tonight, as we are gathered here according to your promise, where two or three is gathered in your name, here you are in the midst. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would move in this congregation tonight, Father. So many hands have been lifted up showing that there's a need, Lord. It means that the people have recognized there is something in their hearts, something in their lives, that they know is going to take divine intervention. It's going to take the operation of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take you, dear God, to come down tonight, even as they stand here believing, holding that request in their hearts. But knowing that you care, Father, knowing that you are here according to your promise, and knowing, oh God, though they stand in a place where their eyes cannot see, and Lord, where their feelings cannot feel, oh God, where their conscience may want to bring guilt, Lord, and they may want to feel depressed. But I pray, Lord, that faith would fall into their hearts and would lift them up, Lord, into that realm above feelings, above seeing, Lord. Oh God, above all these things, Lord, that the five senses want to hold on to and draw some satisfaction. But Lord God, that faith would move them to that sphere where your promises are real, where your word, hallelujah, is real, Lord. Where they will know heaven and earth will pass away, but your word cannot fail. Because that is your place where faith rests, Lord. Faith cannot rest on a feeling tonight. It can only rest upon the infallible word of God. And dear God, knowing you said, ask and it shall be given. You said, seek and you shall find. You said, knock and the door shall be open unto you. Oh God, if you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all other things shall be added unto you. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, let these words which you spoke, Lord, become real in the hearts of your people. To know, dear God, is not what some man could say, but is what you have already said, Lord. It's not what we can feel, or what sorrow, Lord God, we can feel for our own selves, or what sympathy we can desire for people to feel for us. But Lord, we hold fast to your word, and we believe your word, and we anoint your word, Father. Then we will see this word become alive to us. Then we will see God in operation. And I pray tonight, Lord, that these who have lifted their hands would think upon it in this wise. They would hold to it in this manner, Lord. And they would draw from that fountain, Lord, where the word of God could release that virtue, where the word could speak back to them, Lord, where the word could prove that, Lord God, the word cannot fail. Sight and time cannot stop that from coming to pass. Oh God, we don't have to be hindered, Lord. Lord, where that word can bring such faith, we will not even take our circumstances into consideration, but we'll be strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto God, knowing he's faithful who promised. Oh God, let it be revealed on this wise. Then, Father, we know that soul would be anchored. Then we know that soul would be at rest. Then we know, Lord, all reason, imaginations, them strongholds will be pulled down. Lord God, may you grant it tonight. in the name of Jesus Christ. And may the Spirit of the living God come on behind that father. And Lord Jesus, may we see, Lord, in every heart where they are believing in this way, Lord, the Spirit of the living God bring to pass that need tonight. Meet that request tonight. Oh God, may you grant it. Even these written requests, I lay my hands upon them, Father, asking your divine grace and mercy would flow out unto these who are needy. And Lord God, we will realize that you care for us and want to give us these things even much more than we wanted, Lord. May we not be anxious, for you said, take no thought for tomorrow. The lily neither toil nor spin, but God clothed them. Hallelujah! The bird neither sow nor gather in barns. So many times, Lord, we can quote that scripture, but when we find ourselves under the circumstances to believe it and act upon it, Lord, we shirk back in a corner. Lord, but I pray that these scriptures would become so real, because if we cannot believe these simple things, how could we believe the greater things? Oh God, let faith fall into the hearts of these people here tonight, and let them know, Lord God, that your word is true, Lord. Bless this congregation, I pray. May you grant them that grace. And Father, Lord God, tonight as we gather here to hear from you, may you speak to us down to your word. Oh God, we realize we're living in the last days. Time is running out, Lord. Oh God, time is running out for these Gentiles. Lord God, we see the Jews getting ready, Lord, to receive the gospel which we have heard, which many Gentiles played around with, Lord, which they rejected for the creeds and the dogmas. But Lord God, your mercy, oh God, we are drawn in this hour. May we realize these things, Father. May we break into that realm in the spirit where we can see a program of God, where we can see the symphony being played out, where we can see the junction time that we are at, where we can understand what is happening in the spirit. Then all these things that we try to make so important will fade away, Lord. For we'll realize, oh, God is so much nearer than when we first believe. And all these things that we are laboring after to meet that perisheth, oh, God, will pass away. But may tonight there be a hunger in the hearts of the people for eternal things, Lord. Oh, God, and may our energies and our efforts be channeled in your kingdom, in your service, that it might amount to something that when we stand on that day, oh, God, we'll be found as those who had a single eye, who labored for meat that perisheth not, Lord, who have stored up treasures in heaven, where moth or rot cannot corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Bless us tonight. Lead and guide us in the path of service. Get honor and glory, even as strangers and visitors. I pray that you will deal with them in such a way tonight, even as they sit here in the presence of God, the word going forward with power, would convict them, Lord, would shake them, Lord. So many times you want to be pampered and babied, but Lord, there's an hour, it's a shaking time, Lord. Oh God, where everything that could be shaken will be shaken off. But we are receiving our kingdom that shall not be destroyed, a kingdom that shall not be removed. Oh God, may we live for that kingdom, Lord. May we give everything for that kingdom, Father, knowing this world again is again falling apart. But Lord Jesus, oh God, our kingdom of our Lord and His Christ is being revealed unto us. I pray, Lord, you would have your way in this service tonight. We commit ourselves into your hands now. Have thine own blessed way. We thank you in advance for what you will do. For we pray and believe in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And amen. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles. Book of Daniel, we're in chapter 7 on Sunday, and I'm going to just continue, finish up that chapter 7. Well, I trust everybody's reading now in the book of Daniel and doing your homework. I can't do your homework for you, and if you're not being convinced, then I can't convince you. But I could just make myself available to God and trust that you will make yourself available to God. When both of us come together, then God's Spirit will be pleased to come down amongst us. Because both of us will be in His name together, gathered together. Amen. Friends, I'm running for my life. And if you have a revelation, you'd run for yours too. What we could do for the Lord, we've got to do it now. We won't have another time to put our efforts into God's service. We don't have another age to do it. And tomorrow don't belong to you and me. to postpone it. But if we could realize what is important in our life and get under the effects of it, under the influence of it, then maybe we'll have to wonder what God is doing, because God will be so real right in your own life. You don't have to be looking in your neighbor's life to see if God is in your neighbor's life. You'll be seeing God inside of you. And you close to your neighbor, you're going to have some influence. Amen. Because they're going to realize there's something different that's moving you. Amen. See, many of us want the word to work for us. And sometimes we can't see the word working for us. But if the word is not working for you, maybe you need to see if you're paying the price to make the word work for you. Because remember, according to the word, he and his bride is becoming one now. And wherever that word is becoming flesh and flesh is becoming the word, you are seeing people who are overcoming. That's a promise to him that overcometh. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne? And this kingdom that's been revealed unto us, in the days of those 10 kings, and that kingdom, that rock is going to come, there's going to be overcomers who will be in that kingdom. They will sit with him in his throne. We might be scoffed at and ridiculed in this world, not seen as anything. The Bible, when that book was opened, they sang a new song. They said, we shall reign as kings and priests on the earth. The spirit of revelation was breaking forth something to them. They forget the social status. They forget what there was in this earthly kingdom, because the word was showing them what there was in God's sight, what they were going to be in God's kingdom. And friends, when you see that, there's nothing in this world could come alongside and be a temptation to pull you aside and to paralyze your faith. That eagle faith sees beyond this world and this world goods. Amen. If you believe this message and you believe the seven seal and these things, and you believe these things are still real in your heart. You might believe it in a season and be excited waiting in one season, but is it real in your heart tonight? For remember, you are what you are now. You are not where you were 5 years ago. You are what you are tonight. You may be going through a hard time, but are you fighting? Are you believing? Are you persistent? Are you standing there and putting every ounce of energy inside it? Are you about your Father's business? Is what you are tonight, friends. None of us have no excuses, whether we're in the mountain or in the valley. Is our goal before us, and are we pressing towards that mark? Amen. I have no sympathy for backsliders who just want to backslide and back up in a corner. I have no sympathy for lukewarm people. Because the greatest grace that ever struck the earth struck in this generation. Friends, we have received more of God's grace than any age. Because when sin so abound, grace much more abound. And I don't want to frustrate that grace. Because I realize I'm unlovable and he loved me too much. The poverty of a million lives, and I give it all to him. That's the honest truth. I feel like we tonight. You know me, all these just on this pulpit. I'm not one to move and complain and wiggle and serve God halfway. No, sir. And if I know I'm not that way, I don't look for you to be that way too. Because that means you don't have that kind of example. You all have testing times, but greater is he in our hearts. We have a revelation. Daniel 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told us some of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till his wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it between its teeth. And they said, thus unto the rise, devour much flesh. That was those heavenly beings in the vision who speak into that beast, saying, arise and devour much flesh. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. I always wanted to take note of the description of the symbol. That when you look at the thing in reality, know that that thing is dreadful, it's terrible. You may see the nice tall steeple and stained window panes, and the clergy all dressed in white, and they're so sanctimonious. But if that papal church is that beast there, then you better know that is exceedingly dreadful. It's terrible. It is just the way God said, because God don't lie. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before which there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. But the Lord has left you in his word. You may have a seat. Holy Bible is going to read. I beheld till the thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, and its body destroyed, I beheld even till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season of time. They do have no dominion today. Iraq do have no dominion. Iran do have no dominion. Greece do have no dominion. But they still have life. They're still here as a nation, as an independent state. They're still here. But they are not a world power as such. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. There was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Notice it's another kingdom now. That all people, nations, and languages should serve his dominion. An everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Daniel already in the first vision, the one of the image, had seen that there was going to be a kingdom, a fifth one, that was not going to be destroyed. That was going to be a heavenly one. Amen. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body. The visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, we shall arise out of the earth. Isn't that something? You know, those heavenly beings, they could give him a symbol of what those kingdoms are going to be. They already know the nations and the earth and what the outcome is going to be. Because in that other kingdom, that unseen realm, that kingdom, they don't have partial realization. There's a perfect realization there. They know all things. They know the beginning from the end of what's going to happen here. And that's why here there was ministering spirits ministering to God's representative in this realm, the things that is going to take place in this world. But he is receiving that from another realm. Just like the angel, when the angel of the Lord comes to the prophet, he could show him, he says, the world is going to go to war. There's going to be an ecumenical move after the war. Right here in this nation, right here in America. He said, you watch and you're going to see. The Catholic Church is going to rise here. Who could have think of that at that time? Let me tell you, them Protestants, leaders, political leaders, resented anything Catholic because they knew the history of America that fled for freedom of religion. But because God knows the condition, how it's going to deteriorate, or what it's going to come into, he could tell his servant. And when the prophet spoke it, it was being resented when he was speaking. He's my own mother, a square-backed Republican, with Democrat, where she would sit down there and look me, you know, in such a resentful way because of what he was saying. But he wasn't talking politics. He was talking what God was saying about those things. He wasn't talking what man's opinion was about the thing. He was talking about what God was saying about the thing. See? And then, lo and behold, it all come to pass in the same way. Well, the same way in the vision here. Daniel was being shown what's going to happen in that nation that he was in, or what's going to happen in the other nation that was going to come. And here in verse 17, it says, these great beasts, which are four kings, I tell you, also mean kingdoms, because they've been interchangeable, you can see it right here, in the next verse. Who shall arise with the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom, even forever and ever. Then, I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, because that's the one that's bothering him. Each one of them, he could have related to a beast in the animal kingdom. But when this one came up, there was no beast in the animal kingdom like that. It was a monster. So it bothered him, and that's why he had asked for the understanding. And now he's going to know the truth of this fourth beast that died with small others. Exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and its nails of brass, which devoured broken pieces, and stamped the residue. That will resume in remains with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in its head, and of the other which came up, that's the little horn, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than its fellows. A great orator. A man with great oratorial skills. Who could speak with such eloquence, who could move the people in a great way and influence them. See, man who have great charisma before the people. And you know how the prophets in this world is again falling apart. They all want a Messiah. Every nation wants a Messiah. They want some military general. They want something. And God gave them a crying baby. See, when they wanted that, God gave them a lamb. Back there in time of Jesus. They wanted somebody to overthrow the Romans and drive them out. And here again in this day, Russia, they want a great military genius. America, they want a great one. Here in Trinidad, we want somebody going to take us out of our economic problems. See, everywhere. But what God has sent is so different to the taste of the people. He said, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. and prevail against them. It was even becoming more and more interesting, more and more of a phenomenon. Until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. Because those four beasts represented four kingdoms. And the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom. So the first beast was the first kingdom. Second was the second kingdom. Third beast is the third kingdom. Upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. Because that beast was diverse from all the other beasts. Which meant that kingdom was going to be diverse from all the other kingdoms. That's exactly what he's saying here. Because he's being given the interpretation of what those beasts meant. That's what he wanted to know. And that's what he's receiving. And he shall subdue three kings. Now, all these things is still to come to pass. And that's why the way the word is given, when you can look and you can see the word coming to pass, you know where we are. You don't forget that. That's why prophecy is given, so we can know what to look for. Because God prophesies, you don't have to imagine what is going to come. God foretells you before time what is going to come. So you know what to look for and how to expect those things. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into his hand. Church and state going to come together, and the church will control the state. But to change the laws, is the state to change them laws. But it's going to be given into his hand. And they shall be given to his hand until a time, and times, and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations or meditations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Okay. Now, Sunday, we started that, and these visions, it's visions of prophecy, and the vision is symbol form, and we were speaking Sunday, how God could give a prophecy plain, or God could give it in a symbol form. And there are times when, you know, God gave dreams, like he gave a dream to Joseph, and he gave a dream to the wise men, but those dreams didn't need no interpretation, it was just direct. But then God gave dreams in symbol form that he took a prophet to interpret, and that we took examples like in the time of Joseph, also in the time of Daniel here, we see God give dreams. In this very day, when they had dreams of the prophet interpreting the writing, the rock and the crowbar coming, they opened the rock and going towards the setting of the sun, all those things, which was interpreted in a real way to show that it was prophecy in a symbol form. And then we was looking at the reason why God gave things in symbol form, that it would remain a mystery. Though he's communicating something, he is keeping it hidden, because it is only for an elected group. That is why, to God, his word is something precious. The secret things belongeth unto the Lord, and to them whom the Lord shall make it known to. See? God sealed up his word, because it's not for everybody. And then God give it to his children. He let them in on his secret, because it is something private. Amen. Like Jesus would take, not the whole multitude, he would speak in parables to them, but then he would reveal what he's saying to his elected. He said, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. He would take certain ones up in the mountain, privately by themselves, because God is not interested with the whole crowd. He is dealing with those who's hungering and thirsting for these things. Those to whom these things, it means something. And God consider you friends when God would come and make known these things unto us. To him to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And when we see the Holy Spirit
have his word, and you think of way back in Daniel's time, the very recipient of the visions himself. He was inquiring and seeking. He had seen it. It moved him. It troubled him. He sought God for the understanding, and the Spirit would give him it in part and tell him, Daniel, seal it up. Seal up the vision, the prophecy, because it's for the end time. It's not for now. Even though I tell it to you, you still wouldn't understand it, because you'll only know it when the history is being made. And the history of those things will not be made until way in the last days. And you know, we as Christians, who knows that God has given us his word, and we know the word of God is complete. That last book of Revelation, when it was given, that was correctly placed at the end of the Bible in the canon of scripture, because it is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, revealing things that was, is, and shall come. And then God sent a prophet in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. At the end of the seventh age, God had showed he was going to make those things known. As he told John, seal up the book, John. You will not know these things. Amen. Don't write these things. It will be for the time of the end. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, not the fifth, sixth, but the seventh angel, when he shall begin to song, the mystery of God will be finished. Let me tell you, the whole spiritual world had a shaking time. Amen. When a man rose up in this generation and took the Bible and identified with the seventh age, and he was the seventh messenger, it revolutionized Christianity. Did you know that? Because a man stood there and caught that revelation. The crowd didn't convince him he was that person. The crowd didn't ask him to take the position. He knew by election and predestination he was born with that gift to catch those things. And his faith told him he was that person. And he stepped out and proclaimed it and preached that we are at the end of the seventh age. He knew that Elijah was supposed to be here. He knew that Elijah's ministry was to reveal his Bible. And when those visions begin to come, which was coming by the sovereignty of God and making this word plain, he stood up in that little church, amen, and proclaimed them things, amen, that was the divine interpretation of the Bible. And God came down supernaturally and confirmed those things. Let me tell you, the whole world didn't go up in an uproar. The whole world didn't gladly receive it. As a matter of fact, the whole church is taught it was absurd for a man to even think that he could be qualified, even who didn't have a learning and had a certificate or anything, that he was qualified to bring that interpretation. Amen. And it was rejected, but slowly the Spirit who spoke to him, the Spirit who was confirming his word for this time, begin to take that word around the world. The Spirit began to find people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe, and put that word in their heart, and people rising up around the world knew that we are at the end of the seventh age, knew that the seventh angel came, knew that the mystery is finished. And out of those people, God is making the most powerful church that ever stood upon the face of the earth, a church that will not see death, but will be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. And my friend, I don't know what you think, but I believe we are part of that church tonight. I believe we are part of that group tonight. I believe we are part of that people tonight, because I recognize those things to be the fulfillment of the scripture. Let me tell you this, if I alone was to stand and believe this in this generation, I would believe it, because it's a revelation in my heart. Glory be to God. I'm glad that everybody's here, but you being here ain't making me believe it. God revealed it in my heart. And the same way, if you are here, you have to know you're here because you believe it too. You are coming because your friend come. You are coming because your mother or auntie coming. You are coming because God will quicken you and make you alive and show you a part of the word. Amen. But are we coming to church? We are packing the word of God in this generation. We are sweeping this message to the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you, some people believe that temporarily until amnesia set back in. But there are some people who know that in such a way it cannot be reversed. Hallelujah. But I've been trying to be a Christian out of you. If you have a real experience, you're born to be this. You dropped from your mother womb what you are. Hallelujah. Glory. You think we're supporting one another? You think God can't take it? God feed his servant by the birds? God make water come out of a dry rock for his people? Some of us need to wake up. We don't realize the power in this word, friends. We don't realize the reality of this gospel. You've got to realize if God have called you this generation, there was something in your life that had to tie to this word. And God know by bringing you to the word and speaking the word to you while you sit there night after night. While you're in the job and the Spirit keep doing his work there. While you're at home and the Spirit keep doing his work there. He wanted to have Moses sit down before the pillar of fire right there in one place and then send him out. But today, he's with you wherever you're going, teaching you, talking to you, dealing with you. Because he didn't send Peter and them to go and sit down with them there, no. He was walking with them, teaching them, sitting with them in the mountains, sitting with them in the boat, wherever he's going, he was with them. That was the same pillar of fire that was in Moses, was with them now. Revealing to them the word. Oh my. Sometimes I wonder if this thing, if amnesia was setting back in. But who'd come and shake me and tell me, you're the bride. You're trying to behave like a bride. Remember, he's a bride too. I thank God he does it for me. Amen. Yes, sir. See. You're born to fulfill the scripture in this generation. Dying is some nice little saying. There's a reality. When you live there, there's power right there. You know what omnipotent, that's omnipotence right here. Glory be to God. When we can sit in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, we can take this word and begin to reveal this word and bring it down like that. Let me tell you, think if Jesus was here in the Hoffman head, he'd say different? It's not two Jesus, I want Jesus. It's not two Holy Ghost, I want Holy Ghost. Amen. We gotta realize where our faith is and begin to pull and begin to believe God and begin to realize who we are. Amen. This church, I tell you, we just like, you know, again, choose and ball back down, again, choose and ball back down, again, choose and ball back down. Brother, we need to know where we stand. We need to know how powerful these things are. Things we have discussed with me under the mango tree. These things we live by every day. Amen. Now watch. Look at Daniel here. In his time, he was getting that word from God. And he was putting it there and sealing that book. And God knew that that thing was sealed up. All that time until the end time. And God, remembering that promise, had a man to be born. And the Spirit knowing it laying there in the word. Begin to speak to that man and reveal to that man that when he came on and begin to speak these things, it begin to unfold and keep those things that God spoke to Daniel right here. Friends, the devil goes 1,000 years. As far as God concerned, it wasn't even 3 days yet. Since he came back to the prophet. He said 3 days, less than 3 days ago, I was telling Daniel so, Malachi 4, go out and say so and so. Remember what I told Daniel, you know, the other day. It's right there with God. God knew. And here we look back here. And to prove the accuracy, let me tell you, the book of Daniel is one of the books that show how unique this Bible is. Because the book of Daniel is the book that is most supported by history. Because it speaks in detail historical events hundreds of years before it happened concerning nations. Now you could go and take any history and sit down there and begin to read the history of those nations and you see the accuracy. You see how infinite that knowledge expressed here in this book is. You realize how omniscient God is when you begin to see those things. Until man with a natural mind questioned the authenticity of the book. Because they couldn't believe that a man writing there could describe those things. So perfect. But yet it was. Amen. And that is why the way God have dealt with us in those things was that we can have faith, friends. You see, God know how to deal with us. Because this book of Daniel, which God gave us, it was that we could understand what is going to happen in the last days. God wants us to understand it. You see, it may not have been, what should I say, that important for other generations who live and went by because it wasn't their age and time. And the thing that Daniel really wondered, they never really saw it. They never saw them ten toes of this generation. And among them 10 toes, among them 10 horns, is where the other little one was going to come up. Who is going to weigh out the saints? Who is going to change the times and the laws? Who is going to come and do these things and speak blasphemy against God and these things? Who is going to be controlling the state? Is in the time of these 10 toes. But that in that very hour, in that time, is when the God of heaven is going to begin to set up his kingdom also. That is when a rock coming over hands is going to begin to appear on the scene in that time. So to us, as we were saying Sunday, you know, Paul and them, they read it and Paul knew exactly what age he was living in. And in 2 Thessalonians, he said the mystery of iniquity that already work. And the man of sin, the son of perdition, that wicked one shall be revealed. Call him 3 names, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one. And the son of perdition, the devil incarnate. The beast in the middle of the Bible. And he had the beast in the beginning of the Bible. And Paul in the last day, the beast will be in the end of the Bible too. And then he told him, remember when I was with you, I told you these things? Because as we said, the book of Revelation was not written as yet. It was written in 95 to 97, somewhere back there. And all the apostles in them had died except John, who was to write those things. But look, they could see the prophecy of the end time. And what is going to happen in the Gentile world? And how God is going to restore the kingdom back to Israel from the book of Daniel? And then they had the history. We may more know the history from Columbus back. See, maybe in the 15th, 16th century back there, maybe some real historians may go a little further back. But back there, they couldn't know that history because that wasn't written yet. That didn't take place yet. So they will know history from way back, let me say, from Abraham's time, with all their coming right on to their day. And then they had the history. They saw how the world was changing from one kingdom to the other. They saw how it was changing over and over in the different cultures, in the different things that was taking place among the nation, the politics and these things. They saw it. Even being Jews, right in their own land, they saw the land taken over by Romans, being dictated by Romans, being driven and beaten and jailed by Romans, being burnt and crucified in their own country by a foreign power. They didn't go in some body country to suffer that. You know that? It was a foreign power coming to their country and doing them, who were the citizens of that country, that very thing. They knew the look. They saw those things. Why they had to go through those things, and those early apostles, when they looked back there, they knew. They knew that history. And they were able to identify it. Just like Daniel getting those revelations. God wouldn't just give him everything for the end time. God was giving him certain things at his own time too. Because that was the word that he fed on. That's the word that he was inspired by. Because you and your message is one. You are not just receiving things and then, you know, completely ignorant. That's the experience with God you're having. And God, in the air, that inspiration was showing him certain things. When he looked at Nebuchadnezzar, he's the only man, maybe, in that region, in that time, had an understanding of the Babylonian power in the way he understood it. You can imagine those other historians who writing and these things were seeing a kingdom for maybe going into centuries and how them big government is planned, you know, for the next 500 years they're going to do this and do the other and different things. And he was seeing that to fall right here. And the Median Persians, when they had 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia, in the book I have to tell you, you think you're going to see that falling? To a little power like Greece coming up there? You think they're going to see it? Not you can imagine. When they had an army 2,500,000 strong going to war, brother, you look and see those are nations back there. So powerful. And once you have military power and you have stable politics and so on and the economy is strong, you ain't see nothing could be no threat to you. But God had something to unfold. And this is what we want to see. The thing is that as I took the message, things which shall come to pass hereafter to show you. When the word of God says something, it must come to pass. That's why when you know what is going to happen, you know the plan, you know what to do. You work with the Spirit, you don't work against the Spirit. In every age, they overcame by the anointing that was released to them, and that anointing came through the word. Let me tell you, that's why I don't fight the word, you receive the word, because the word is to make you overcome. When you receive the word, that is your anointing to overcome. You try to get anointed outside the word, you get dry. Because that is God's order in every age. That's why you wonder people overcoming and some can overcome. You know why? Because they're working with the word. They're working with the power that's been released. Exactly. They could achieve in the day that they're living in. They could be persistent, they have a revelation of their objective, they have a goal, and no obstacle could stand before them. Because why? They have seen it. They're striving to take a hold of it. Amen. Then you watch and see it. They had a testing time there, but because God was dealing with them, they were in a foreign land, subjected to a foreign power. But yet the Holy Spirit, he was mindful of the condition. He was mindful of the villain, but he was dealing with them. Like Paul in the prison. Paul was in on the boat. He was in chains. And yet God says, Paul, by the way, you're supposed to go with me. You're supposed to represent me in Rome. God didn't say, how them chains? How you feeling? You're down? You're lonely? Thing going hard, boy? It's more instructions. Because God had already teach Paul that trials and testings is nothing. He said, when I become weak, he becomes strong in me. Paul already had that revelation. See? So when you look in and you begin to see God's word at work in your life, and you begin to apply the word and exercise in the word, things is going to happen. You see, things is going to happen, friends. Because the word is just is for you to overcome the thing that faces you. So we have the word and we want to use it to maybe do some miracles somewhere. But we need to call for that. But God gives the word to overcome whatever we face with. Whatever in your world, God gives you the word to overcome that in your world. But you see, if you're receiving the word now, then when the things in your world come there, you take that word and you apply it. Then you're going to see that power, the word is nigh to even thy mouth. That power is present right there. Amen. Now look. Now we went too quickly on Sunday, but we were just able to get up to the sixth verse with the first two B's. So I trust that I can just try to refresh your minds a little bit. What we were taking there with the first B, which was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I trust you are remembering that. Because how God has given this symbol back there to Daniel, and he was able to identify those things because he saw how God was dealing with him. And remember, in this book, when you're studying it,
God is not giving one revelation and then another revelation. The first foundational revelation was that image. And you know, you notice as we begin to go deeper into the book, and the Spirit changes the symbols, I became a little concerned for some people because I felt that maybe in the mind they can't relate the different symbols. But you see, it's good that when you read, you try to absorb what you read and try to retain what you read. And I mean, if you could even have a mental picture of what is in the book from chapter 1 to chapter 12, it will help you very much. You see, you know what chapter 1 is all about, you know what chapter 2 is all about. So it's right there. So if you speak, you know how it progresses. You see, from the time you begin to get to hold it, you're going to start to see it. From the time it's difficult to see it, meaning you hold it as you should. And that's why I thought a little visual aid might help some of the people. But what happened was that to get some visual aid, I wanted to wait first and feel it was necessary because I know you're going to slow me down. And then I'm going to have to maybe get a sheet for everybody to sit down there because we can't put it up on a board here for everybody to see from the different angles. But as I say, it would help you if you study. Because in one part of the book, God is dealing with the same four powers and he's calling them head of gold, chest of silver, thighs of brass, legs of iron, toes of iron clay. In the next part of the book, he's calling it lion, bear. In the next part of the book, he's calling other powers he goat, ram, and until you can get the hold it together, you know, it's going to be a little confusing. And don't be discouraged if it's a little confusing while maybe I am preaching, you're hearing it, if you're not getting it right there. It just means that just where you get, you may not grasp it, it's just the place you want to go back home and read and familiarize yourself. Amen. See? Because I'm just bringing it out of the book here. And if God, as I say, give it that way, God can just give it plain without changing the symbols. But when he changed the symbol, he was giving a more clearer understanding to Daniel all the time. So he will be able to identify it when the history is being made. That's why he was giving him more symbols. Because when God said, head of gold, it's Babylon. That don't say how long Babylon is going to last. That don't say who's going to overcome Babylon. That don't say what kind of nature is really there in the you know, the spirit of that country. But then God began to unfold a little more of it. And why these first three are so important is because when we get to the fourth beast, you're going to find out, if you had read Revelation 13, as I told you to do on Sunday, you're going to find out that beast in Revelation 13 had part was a leopard, part was a bear, part was a lion. So it meant in that fourth beast, it had all the characteristics of the first three. And to fully understand the Roman power in the earth at work today, you must be able to see how the previous kingdoms are absorbed into it. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why when it's in operation in the earth today, conquering, devouring, see, controlling the kingdom of this world, it is because in it is all those characteristics of the previous powers. That is why there was no beast like that in the earth. And it was diverse to the others. Do you understand that? Amen. All right. And that is what we are building up for, to see what is happening in the earth today. That, because that, this book of Daniel is not a book of the past. It was a prophecy for the end time. Every time he's told, Daniel sees up because it's for many days. It's for the time of the end. It's for the time of the end. Well, that's the time we are in now. Because the end of time still have started. We in that end time. The coming of Christ. We in the coming of Christ. That rock. So that means these things are happening. Then we look out there and we say, who are them 10 toes? We want to know. See, who are them trees that is plucked up? They have no more root. We want to know. We like to know. I guarantee we will know that it may all be fulfilled before we go. We can't guarantee that. But the thing is, we know the man of sin himself will be revealed after the bride leaves. But we already know the office. We already know the fourth beast. Amen. And we know they're going to change times and laws and those things. And a measure of it is going to start coming before, because that way it's going to put us under pressure. You don't have to be part of the ecumenical move. You don't have to be part of these religious bodies in order to have the freedom for worship and these things. So we know that much. So that is why, with the light of these modern events, it's so important to look at these things. And when you see it, how could you sit down there and just live normal when you see those things coming in? When you see the closeness, when you see those things being identified, when you see what they really are. That is what prophecy is given for. That is why those men, they walk with Jesus and you tell them, oh fools and slow of heart, believe all that their prophets have spoken. And he says, we think when I died there was happening. We think when you hear the rumor that I rose, we think was happening. We think the Bible had said so and so far. We think was going over there. And when they saw the prophecy fulfilled, it changed them. It changed them. They were no longer gloomy and sad no more. But it was up and ready to go. It was spreading the message everywhere. They were under expectation to receive the promise. And they went and set the world ablaze. Turned it upside down. Because they understood what had happened. But before that, you ask me, you're a believer? Sure. But I'm a gloomy believer. You're a believer, but I have no expectation. You're a believer, but I just go along because I'm confused. Because I don't know what happened my day. I don't know if I advance the Pokemon God. But I'm a believer. But that's the kind of believer they were. But when he opened the understanding to the scriptures, and he showed them those prophecies where it happened, and where they were standing, they realized the most glorious thing to come in the Holy Spirit, they were just a few days from it. They were just a few days from where they were going to live like he lived and walk like he walked, and do what he did. And they couldn't imagine they were so close to that right there. And they were so sad. And yet all of that had happened precisely. And was so secure, it was so completely done, the work on Calvary to make the promise available. And it was so secure for them, but they never knew what really had happened. And that's why the prophet said, one of these days, people are going to wake up and see. Because he knew they was hearing the message. 1965, he said, you're hearing the message intellectually. That was for the age and for the church here. Many heard intellectually for all the years. They know what you're talking about. And then some say, I know, see what you're talking about. I know, understand this. Boy, this word is something else. Eh? And you say, I'm preaching that 10 years ago. Because they know, because it knows how to bear down. They know how to see what's happening. Because, friends, there's something to see, nothing to learn. It's something to see, to recognize what's happening. Now we are showing Sunday. To really grasp the vision in symbol form here, if we understand the symbols, we can see what God is communicating. Because God was communicating something, and the channel was these beasts, these symbols. And he used symbols of the winds, and he used symbol of the sea, and he used symbol of four different beasts, and he used symbol of the horns. But it all had to do something with the time of the Gentiles. All had to do something about it. And the first thing, the four winds, we took that and we know what that symbol was. It's a very common symbol in the Bible. It speaks of war and strife, political disturbance. And we found out that the wind was having an effect upon the sea. The sea was having an effect on the wind. The wind was having an effect on the sea. The wind was causing the sea to rage. It strove upon the great sea. And the sea, we found out, is also another common symbol in the Bible. It speaks of nations, multitudes of peoples. So there was political disturbances among the nations. Rise and fall of empires. Is what it was. Then we found out there were four great beasts. And we see from the scripture here. It says the four great beasts was what? Four kingdoms. And then it also said, and the 10 horns were 10 kings. But these 10 kings was in the fourth beast. And then there was another horn which had eyes and a mouth and which rose up and make war against God and his people. And that troubled Daniel because who could this be? Which earthly king could have that kind of power? That even in the days of these 10 kings, one is going to rise up and be so strong. He's going to subdue 3 right there. He's going to go forth and speak blasphemy. He's going to change time and laws. He's going to have such dominion. Everything will be under his control for time and times and dividing the time. He had never seen nothing like that before. Now, when God was giving him these revelations, it was causing him to look back at what God had previously given him. And very quickly, he can notice something about that fourth beast, because in that fourth beast, he was told the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom, and he knew from his time, so when God set up his kingdom, there was only going to be four kingdoms. You already had seen that in the time in the book, in the Nebuchadnezzar image. There was only four metals. And he knew then it was not going to be any more than four until the God of heaven set up his kingdom. Then here again, he's seen four beasts. And the fourth one was a kingdom. So the first three was kingdoms too, and it was four kingdoms again. And at the end of these four, he saw the resurrection. He also saw the God of heaven set up his kingdom again. So he knew that it was the same thing. So now he could begin to compare the four metals with the four beasts, because he knew it was four kingdoms again, only being shown to him in a different symbol. And he knew if God would choose to show it in a different symbol, God had a reason and purpose for communicating in this manner. So right away he knew that he had a goal, which was Babylon, and that lion with eagle's wings. And all through Babylon had them lions. In the city they had them big lions with eagle wings. Like Egypt, you have the Sphinx, and they have all the pyramids and these things. They, in the architecture and these things, used to have all these big lions guarding the gates, you know. And they used to have these eagle wings on them. Well, that's exactly what he was seeing coming out of the water. And when he saw that rise out of the water, out of all them nations, was going to be a nation that was going to rise up, and it was symbolized as the king of the beasts, and it had characteristics of the king of the birds. Well, right away, it struck him. You know, that when he saw that, and we took that in the Bible, and we run it through back in different scriptures. And there's one I could have read, which I didn't read to, which is Ezekiel 17. And in there, it also speaks of Babylon, and you read when you go home. It speaks of Babylon, and it speaks about God had given Ezekiel a vision in symbol form of Babylon about an eagle. And he saw this eagle and how the eagle feathers were plucked out and all these things afterwards. Well, we took that and we showed that the lion, the king of the beast, the boldness of the lion, the strength and power of the lion, represented Babylon the same way the head of gold represented Babylon. And the same way the value of the metals depreciated, is the same way we find the lion, the beast becoming more and more inferior in strength. Because first you have the lion, and then it began to come to a bear, and it began to a leopard. It was decreasing all the time until it came to a monster. So he was beginning to see that there was actually a definite similarity in these things. But God did not show it to Nebuchadnezzar in that manner. But now God was showing it to Daniel in this manner for a purpose, because it had to do something with Daniel and Daniel people in the last days. Because that's what the vision was to be about. Had to do with Daniel and Daniel's people. So then, we went to the second one, which was the bear, and we took the bear, Sunday too, and we found out how it raised itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth. And then we went back to Daniel chapter 8, and we read, and we were showing how when the Medes and the Persians were becoming strong, what began to happen, they began to push westward, push northward, push southward, overcoming those three powers there, and how they actually became strong, and then they themselves became a world power afterwards. We took that, and how the leopard had four wings, not the leopard, rather the bear, the voice that arise, devour much flesh. And we took that power of the bear, and we showed that that bear represented the chest of silver and the arms of silver. Because the Medes and Persia was the only kingdom that was a dual kingdom. Babylon was a single power. Greece was a single power. Rome was a single power. But the Medes and Persia was a dual kingdom. two nations together, Medes and Persians. And we find out that was perfectly represented in the two arms of silver. And then when God showed back, he showed in the two horns of the ram. And then the greater one was always Persia, because Persia was the stronger of the two kingdoms. And we found that perfect, and we had to stop because the time ran out. And now we want to take the third one, which was the leopard. And it says, "And I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl, and the beast had four heads, and dominion was given unto it." Now, when he saw this leopard, he began to realize something strange. It wasn't an ordinary leopard because it had wings too. It had four wings and then it had four heads. Now, at that time when he saw it, he didn't understand what it was. Because it still was not telling him what kingdoms they were. He knew Babylon was the head of gold. He knew the last kingdom was the kingdom of God of heaven, but he never knew who the chest of silver was. He never knew who the thighs of brass was. He never knew who the legs of iron was. So by the time he came and he had these visions of the kingdoms again, between those two times, he still didn't know, because the Medes and the Persians had not yet overcome Babylon. It was still in the first year of Belshazzar. He was having these things. And I told you it's important that you see when he's having these visions, because it tells you what time he's having them. So you can understand that his understanding is still unfruitful. So when he say, "It troubled me," you know why he's being troubled, because he don't know what it is. So we find out then in Daniel 8, if you want to read. Because in Daniel 8, the identity of the chest of silver and the thighs of brass was going to be revealed to him. The identity of the bear and the leopard was going to be revealed to him. Because God knew it troubled him. And God saw it fit now to reveal these things to him, because it was time for Babylon to fall. And just at the fall of Babylon, when it was fixing the fall, and the other power was going to rise, right there God began to give him certain revelations that he was going to understand that new kingdom coming in the air, exactly that was another part of his vision. He knew who he was going to be. Now watch. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, right away, it tells us it's 2 years after, because the first set of visions in chapter 7 was in the first year of Belshazzar. This is in the third year, so it is 2 years after. "A vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace." And I told you he was in Babylon seeing the vision, but in the vision, he's in Shushan the palace. This is why I say that, because sometimes you're dreaming. And you're dreaming certain things, and you're in another place, and those things happening. And you want to know, why would God give you a dream like that? Like, you know, the place is like different to where it should be. But you see, all these things is put in the book for just the way it is. Because no doubt one day Daniel really would have gone, maybe, in his travels as a diplomat. And then he was also under the reign of Darius and Cyrus. He would travel to the capital, because their capital wasn't Babylon. They conquered Babylon, but their capital was Shushan. That's the capital of Medes and Persia. In Shushan the palace where Esther and them was. See? So when he would go there and then maybe walk through that palace and say, "Right about here, supposed to have a gate here. I'm supposed to have this." And he never was there before. Because he sees in vision, and in vision he was transported there in that place. You know what I'm saying? How many times we see the prophet in this day when he would tell us visions, and he would be in certain place like in Finland, and the monk would be, and he never was there yet. And then one day he goes there and hears the place exactly God showed him in the vision. What it does? It brings faith to minister when you're there. Now the Bible doesn't say all what Daniel, the Bible only records Daniel's vision to the last day. It didn't give up Daniel ministry as such. It didn't give all Daniel where he might have helped people and done different things, and you know what I mean? Same like in the message. We only read so much of what God did with the prophet in the message. And then we shall hear testimonies. is so much greater things that it was not even a message that we're hearing about, that what other people could testify of. You know what I'm saying? So I say that, so, you know, you could see that in the Word, if you read it the right way, it's so much right there in the Word. And then I lift up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram. And I purposely believe he went to that place afterwards, because he named the river where he was by. Maybe if he didn't get information in the vision, when he actually went there and see that river and said, now, stand right here under this tree, right by this river here. There was in the vision. What is the name of this river? He said, Ulai. But when he arrived, he could say that. You know what I'm saying? Because he know where he was. Then I lift up my eye, he says, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. And we show that Sunday how Darius had come in first, representing Cyrus really, because Cyrus is really king of both kingdoms, but Darius was his uncle. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. In other words, in his conquest. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will, and he became great. He became great by conquering those that was northward of him, those that were southward of him, and those that were westward of him. And nobody could have delivered them out of the hand when he made his invasion, when he went forth in his conquest. Those were the true ribs right there, which we had mentioned, Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt. And you take a map, as I said, and you look it back. Because if you have a Bible, it helps you. But I ain't thinking because I read it in the Bible, in the footnote, I look at it in the map. And then, he said, I saw the ram, and as I was considering, behold, the and he goat came from the west, over the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between its eyes. Now here you see that goat coming to the picture now. Now, that may not mean much for us today in this modern civilization, but back there, the goat was the symbol of, so we have this scarlet ibis, and our coat of arms, theirs was the goat. And Persia own was the ram. That was the symbol. Like how America is the eagle, and Russia is the bear, and Australia is the kangaroo, and Britain is the lion. So their own, Media and Persia, there was the ram, their symbol was the ram, and there was the goat. So Daniel, being a diplomat, he's accustomed to these things. He's acquainted that. That's why God could give him in symbols, that he knew exactly who they was. And then in the vision, he know where they're going to make the conquest. If they make conquest eastward, something wrong. But when he see them making the conquest towards the south, and towards the north, and when they make them conquest, nobody can do it to their hand. And then the symbol is the ram. He know who they are. You know what I'm saying? It confirmed into his vision. And as I was considering, behold, and he got came from the west, over the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. This same conquering ram is now going to be conquered. The same ram that conquered nations in north, south, and west is now going to be conquered by a power coming from the west. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with anger, or chola, against him, and smote the ram and broke his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Same way, no one could deliver those. And I'm going to refer to it, maybe not tonight, but later on, another message. Watch how first it says, talking about the ram, in verse 4, when he began to conquer, he became great. Then the ram, the he-goat rather, when he began to conquer, he became very great. Watch that. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones to
toward the four winds of heaven. All right? I'm going to jump apart here because, okay, I should take it. I'm going to jump it because I don't want to go into tonight. And out of one of them came forth a little horn. Out of one of the four horns came forth a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And the pleasant land is always Israel. Many places in the Bible is called the pleasant land. And it grew great even toward the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and cast down the truth to the ground, and it continued and prospered. Then I heard one saint, all this in the vision, speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint who spoke, how long shall be the vision concerning daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for the time of the end shall be the vision. Let me tell you, this thing is going to come to pass. God don't lie. Are we in that time? Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, or the great tribulation. That's God's indignation when he poured his fury and wrath. For the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns, these are the kings of Mede and Persia. Now he knew what that nation was. Amen? He knew that nation because just like we know Venezuela, and we know Brazil, and we know the nations in the earth that exist today. But we may not know what their future is going to be. Well, so now he's being told, you see where you see that vision there? That is that nation down there. Sometimes like we dream about a kangaroo, and something's going to happen, a kangaroo, a bear go and kill a kangaroo. And he said, why do you dream that for? And then a voice say, Russia is going to take over Australia. He said, my goodness, God, show me something, boy. You see? Well, it's something like that then. God began to tell him now, what you were seeing in the vision of that nation right there. And the rough he got is the king of Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. In other words, when that notable one was broken and four rise up afterwards, they will not have the original strength of the first one. They will not stand in his power because the kingdom was divided. Notice Greece, from one, it came out of four heads. All right? That's why the leopard here had four heads. We're going to take it in a little while. But I read this so you can understand. Greece came out, when God assumed it, it's going to come out of the four heads. And the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now what is he talking about? He had revealed the ram, he had revealed the he-goat, he had revealed the four horns. Now, Gabriel was revealing the little horn. The last thing left to be revealed in the vision.
You understand that? After all, that we're reading. Listen. He had seen a ram with two horns, one hand in it, pushing westward, pushing northward, pushing southward. And what he was pushing against, nobody could deliver them out of his hand. In other words, nations he was conquering. Because he became strong. But then all of a sudden, when he was strong, when he was a world power, when he had conquered them three ribs in the mouth, another kingdom was going to succeed him. Because in the vision, after the bear was devouring them three ribs, those three nations, he was devouring them, was the prey of the bear. The bear had pounced on them. The bear had devoured them. The bear was feeding upon them. The bear was becoming strong by them being absorbed into the bear. If the bear goes to eat a sheep, wouldn't the sheep end up inside the bear? All right. Well, it had three ribs representing the ones it conquered to become strong. Because before its conquest, it was just an ordinary power. But every time it conquered another power, it was becoming stronger because that kingdom had been absorbed into this kingdom. All right. Well, here it was when it became strong now, these three powers it had contained, it wasn't going to stand be a world power forever. Another kingdom is going to succeed it. And Daniel was finding out that Greece was going to succeed the Medes and the Persians because the he-goat that was coming was the king of Greece. And that he-goat was going to trample upon this ram and defeat this ram. So right away, he knew the second and third power because you already know who Babylon was. So when he saw Babylon was overcome by the Medes and the Persians, he knew he had already seen the Medes and the Persians becoming strong. Is that right? And then he could tell who they was going to be overthrown by, because he had already known it even before it happened, though he was not going to live to see it. It was not going to be until about 300 years after. But it was going to happen, and he was going to see, and those who live in that day was going to see the accuracy of what Daniel had seen in the vision wrote there, and they had it as the word. Well, look at this now. So in the vision, he sees this he-goat coming from the west, and exactly where it's coming from. Look into where Greece is. And look into where Persia is in the map. It's west, it's coming. And it's coming there from the west, and it's going to attack him, and trample that power that just was so strong, devouring these three powers. Well, which nation, which beast succeeded the bear? The bear was the second beast, the second kingdom. The leopard. And the leopard had four heads because that kingdom was divided up into four horns. Is that right? Exactly, because that horn was broken when Alexander died. He had no children. So he had four generals to divide the four kingdoms. And that's history too. And that was told even before the history was written. And that's exactly the history of that Grecian kingdom. So Daniel was seeing that in the vision, and then he was being told it. Well, he saw something strange. He had seen something he didn't see in the leopard. Now, when he saw that 2 years after he had seen the leopard, he can say, oh, this he-goat and that leopard is the same thing. This leopard and that ties of brass is the same thing. Just like the arms are silver, and the ram and the bear was the same thing. Because the arms and the silver was the Medes and Persians, the bear was the Medes and Persians, and the ram with the two horns was the Medes and Persians. See, the chest of silver, the ties of brass was Greece, the leopard was Greece, and the he-goat was Greece. But now he's seeing how Greece is going to rise. What's going to happen to the king of Greece? Because the leopard didn't say anything about the king of Greece. The ties of brass didn't say anything about the king of Greece. But now Daniel is seeing those things, that when the history is being made, it was already said that after the first king died, the kingdom will be split up into four powers. Well, when that can't fulfill the history, they say, my goodness, look at things right here. You know what I'm saying? Exactly the way it was going to happen. Because if that part was not given, how could you prove that when that Alexander died, that those four kingdoms, you didn't really correctly identify these things. So that's why Gabriel in the vision is telling him, he says, that he-goat is the king of Greece. And when he died, four others are going to rise up, but they will not stand in his power. They will not have the strength that Alexander had. And then, it means that the ram and the he-goat, that was interpreted, the four horns was interpreted. The only thing left to be interpreted in the vision now was that little horn. Who is going to come and cast down the stars of heaven to the ground? Who is going to come against the prince of the host? Who is going to come and take out the daily sacrifice and these things? And that is what troubled Daniel, because he was going to look towards the pleasant land. Didn't Rome come against Israel? Didn't Israel become a province of Rome? Didn't Rome destroy the sanctuary? Didn't Rome burn the city? Didn't Rome scatter Israel throughout the world? Sure. Well, Daniel was seeing it. How you, this little horn, not the four from the he-goat, not the first horn on the he-goat, but the little one that come out of one of the four. In other words, Gabriel was tracing the history of Greece straight into Rome and showing how when that kingdom divided up, it is all going to be swallowed up into the Roman power. And when the Roman power come against Israel, it means because the last division of them four Grecian kingdoms was swallowed up by Rome. Because the next kingdom was, and that's why we find in Revelation 13, that beast that came out of the sea had part of the leopard, had part of the bear, had part of the lion inside it. Is that clear? If not clear, you say amen to him, because I mean go over. So now Gabriel is interpreting for him that little horn. Because remember when he saw the ties of brass in the image, it never showed it's going to break up in the four kingdoms. But now he's understanding the tie of brass is going to split up in the four kingdoms before it gets to the iron. You understand that? That's why it was burning, because he had to consider it, because he wasn't getting all at one time. He had to reconcile these things together. It's just like us, for years, you know, one minute we see part of the word, you know, revealing Christ in Isaiah, part being revealed in Jeremiah, part being revealed, you know, in shadows and types, you know, in the Lamb, part being revealed in Moses, part being revealed in David, and then you sort of put it together to realize one thing being revealed. Well, the same way God is doing here. He was using different things, but he was slowly unfolding the revelation all the time. Same way with the church. You see, part was in the wheat, part was in something else. You see, in the seven golden candlesticks, part was in something else. And so God was giving revelation to the church in different symbols, different shadows, different types, slowly unfolding the mystery of the bride. Well, the same way God was doing with these different kingdoms, slowly unfolding it. So that's why what you start off with is not a bunch of jumbled things. It's one thing unfolding more and more gradually. So when we come to the last days, it is very easy to trace. But now the history is being made, and now we can identify these things. Amen. I want to get that third one properly before we close. So maybe Sunday we can start in the fourth, which is where we, once we start in the fourth, is where we at. What's happening? Because the fourth is nothing we say happened. The fourth is coming up now. We're looking for that little horn. That little horn is going to rise. That little horn can't come up yet, you know. With the mountains blaspheming against God, he can't come up yet. No. That's that man of sin. To be revealed. But we know the office is going to come true. That Roman hierarchy. Because it's in a threefold mystery. Antichrist, false prophet, and then he's going to become beast. Then he's going to set down the mark when he becomes a beast. Is that right? Sure. So then, those things are going to come. Then when we get there, we'll come right back to where he was in the seal of God in the mark of the beast. And then we can get to the real understanding. That's why we took this way. So in the, look at Daniel now is revealing verse 9 to 12, because verse 23 to 25 is the interpretation of verse 9 to 12. He had revealed the ram and the two horns. He had revealed the he-goat. He had revealed the four horns that came up. Now he's revealing the last thing in the vision, the little horn. And he says, and the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. And Alexander's kingdom was divided into the four generals, each one. One took Macedonia in the northern part, the western part. One took Thrace and the northern part. And I was looking at Thrace. Thrace is Bulgaria today. You look at it in a map, it's Bulgaria. And every one of the nations is here. Greece is here, Bulgaria is here, Egypt is here, Syria is here. And them were the four nations that the four horns was divided up into. And it says, those beasts, all their power is going to be taken, the dominion will be taken, but they will remain for a time and season, and they're still here for a time and season. But when the transgressions are come to full, around that time in the last days, then out of that fourth beast is going to come that little horn. So we know any time, because we know that from the time the Son of Man is already revealed and the bride is to be taken out of the way, is that the man of sin is going to be revealed. That day will not come except they have fallen away. Is that right? And right now we are being gathered onto the coming of our Lord. Right now, 2 Thessalonians 1. So we know it's right at hand. Between the binding of the tears and the revelation of the Antichrist, sometime between there, the bride goes in the rapture. Happening. And the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Because he'll have power to call on fire from the sky, all kind of things. Supernatural power, satanic power, he'll have superhuman power. And before God, it'll be the devil incarnate. It wouldn't just be an ordinary man like that sound there. It'll be the beast at the end. The power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and continue, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft, businesses, manufacturing, industries, all these things, to prosper in his hand. You got Scofield Bible put deceit, but that's wrong. They think that craft means deceit. That craft means business. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken without hand. Exactly right. He will be destroyed with the brightness of his coming and the spirit of his mouth. When Christ comes, that will be destroyed. Read in Revelation 19. It's by the spoken word. Read in 2 Thessalonians 2, it's by the spoken word. Without hand, that rock of without hands is going to bring us in. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Whereof shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So what is that? Third beast, when it has not been revealed, that leopard, which had four wings, you see, because that was the second time Daniel was seeing this third kingdom. He had seen the third kingdom as the ties of brass, but then the second time he saw it was as a leopard with four heads, and then the third time he saw it, it was a he-goat. But every time he saw the third kingdom, a further revelation of it unfolded. And that's what we are using to reveal what that third beast was. We are using the very same scripture that speak of it. Why the four heads? Because it was going to have four, it was going to split into four kingdoms. Because the he-goat ended up having four horns. Which was the four generals, because the kingdom was divided into four after Alexander died. That's why it was a beast came out first, like a leopard, and that four wings were fowl. Because notice the first lion had two wings of an eagle. But this had four wings of a fowl. That first was a lion, but this one was a what? A leopard. Now, a leopard is also the cat family. And a leopard, you know, is something about the leopard, how it hunts its prey. Because these nations became great and became powers, and beasts represent power in the Bible, because of their conquest. Just like a beast, when it's on a hunt, and it's going forth after a prey, and it conquers its prey, the manner in which it conquered it. I remember once we were in Zimbabwe, and we looked at these animals, you know, the lion, and, you know, the chimpanzee, and different going through the zoo like that. And then we came to a leopard, and then Steve, he went and was trying to grab the leopard by the tail. And he said, a beautiful animal. And, you know, it was so ferocious. How she was there, you know, we were observing the leopard. Well, there is something about the leopard when you look at the leopard. Because many scriptures in the Bible speak of the leopard. And here it is. The leopard is one of the most agile and swift creatures that there is. When, you know, when it's hunting, when it's conquering its prey. And the thing about Alexander, within 10 years, I told you, he conquered Persia and the whole civilized world. He became king when he was 20 years old. And by 33, he died and had already conquered the entire world. And back then, I said, he didn't have no big carriers to, you know, transport your armies and these things. But they tell you in his military strategy, he moved lightly and he moved swiftly. And that's why he was able to conquer. And the history gives you somebody, like when he fought the Persians. The Persians had an army of close to 2,500,000 strong. And he didn't even have maybe quarter of that among the people in his army. But the swiftness and the strategy itself of all the generals that the world have known. I mean, he's one that stands out when coming to strategy in war. Because of the way he was able to fight and conquer and move quickly. And the long distances that he traveled back and forth across the earth in his conquest. Because the thing was that he marched with two armies. One much lighter than the second, one with a lot of the heavy artillery. And the one that he moved lighter ones, he could have moved swiftly back and forth, making his conquest, and then just followed by the others. Now, many of these type of strategies today is what, like, they use in invasion and war. If you understand, like, when they had made invasion of Grenada, and they move in there, when the real troops come in after, they're going to mop up the resistance, as they say, the pockets of resistance, because the shock troops had already moved in ahead and hit all the main places and broke the strongholds, and then the others just come in afterwards. Like when they're moving to Panama and them places too. And you watch and see that in his conquest, that when he went forth, as God began to reveal to him this power and the agility and the swiftness of this power, because the eagle, the wings of the eagle we fondled was what? Swiftness. And here, if the wings of the eagle speak of swiftness, then wouldn't the four wings of the fowl speak of swiftness too? Also of Alexander, not as maybe the Babylonian power, which there was not a power like that one in the earth. That was the head of gold. That was the greatest of all the Gentile nations. But here, he who was able to speed of movement, they say his conquest was unparalleled in history because of the size of his army, because of the swiftness that, with which he conquered, and the fierceness with which he moves upon his enemy and conquered him. And after he died, and the kingdom was divided into four heads, then they was not able to stand up in the power as when Alexander was there. And from Alexander died in 323 BC, and by 30 BC, the last one was conquered, and Rome was considered the world power by 30 BC. Rome was conquering slowly, because by 63 BC, Jerusalem was a Roman province. When Jesus was born, he was born under the Roman power, which you're going to get at later on when we get the fourth beast, to show you, like when the taxation was taking place in Luke chapter 2. Caesar Augustus was taxing the whole world. Is that right?
Exactly right.
And Mary and Joseph had to go back because under the Roman power, who was ruling the world at the time? Without having the census. So that third beast was clearly understood by Daniel afterwards. You could identify it though he didn't live to see the history made, yes, history comes back and confirm that those four heads was four generals, four kingdoms divided up, and it was succeeded by Rome, because also Daniel had never known to write it that Rome was the fourth power. Nowhere in the book of Daniel is it Rome is the fourth power. Every place in the book of Daniel tells you Babylon is the head of gold. It tells you Medes and Persians was the second kingdom, that ram, that second beast that came up there. That's why you can say you're in the balance and found wanting. And the kingdom is given to the Medes and Persians, could identify it. He identified what the second kingdom was. Then he says, that one going to overthrow the Medes and Persians is the prince of Greece. He could identify it. But that fourth kingdom was always a mystery. But we know because of history today that Rome was the fourth one. And we're going to find that the early church had known it too. See, though Daniel didn't say it, yet Paul and them with understanding, yet John, when he saw the revelation on the Isles of Patmos, and he saw that same beast come out the air, out of that water, it had seven heads, and that seven heads was what? Those seven mountains. And there's only one city that is seated on seven hills that is drunk with the blood of the martyrs and the saints of Jesus Christ. Which is that Roman church. So right now we know from the Bible and can prove how that fourth beast is Rome, because the scripture bear record of it. Amen? So we're going to get that by the grace of God when we get there Sunday. I want to start on that fourth beast. Because that fourth beast, out of that fourth beast, something strange happened. When he saw the legs of iron and 10 toes, he never saw another little toe rise up among the 10 toes. God didn't show Nebuchadnezzar that. But when Daniel saw out of the fourth beast, Rome, the legs are iron, he saw 10 horns which represented 10 toes, and the iron teeth that the beast had represented the iron legs. Because he said that iron devoureth and breaketh in pieces all as before it, so this kingdom will devour and break all. And in that fourth beast that was diverse, he saw it devour and break and stamp the residue. Is that right? With the iron teeth. So Daniel knew that was that. But then he saw 10 horns and another little horn. But the other little horn that he saw, it was speaking blasphemy against God and making war against God's people. So then God was showing Daniel now this kingdom in relation to God's people and in relation to God's word. And that is why it's important to us now, because there is a kingdom that is rising the earth that is going to come against the truth. It's going to stamp the truth out. It's going to come against the people who abide in that truth. That is why way back in the Bible, they knew. And that coming persecution was foretold in the last days that the people of God will suffer. And it's going to come through changing laws and times. Do you understand that? You see, we just talk about squeeze and all these things, but I'm trying to show you how scriptural these things are and where it come from and how it's foretold and how they look for it. And why it's going to come to the economy, because the man is going to cause craft to prosper. And that's why he could destroy. Because he'll hold the power of those things in his hand. Exactly. And here, as those things become plain to us, and we look at it, we are going to see how God, in giving Daniel these things, this information about the ram and the he-goat, begin to reveal to Daniel what was withheld in the other visions. Do you understand that? Because it was not shown in the image, and it was not shown the four beasts. But when he saw the ram and the he-goat, he knew then exactly the part that the Medes and the Persians, which is Iran today, was going to play. And he knew the part that Babylon was going to play, which is Iraq today. And Greece is still here with us today. And Syria, which came out of one of them four kingdoms when Greece was divided, is still here with us today. But Macedonia and Greece was the same, you see, because the Grecian kingdom was Greece and other nations. And when it was divided, one part took Greece, one part took Syria, one part took Thrace, which is Bulgaria,
One part took Egypt. And all of those nations are still here with us today. And their kings are here also. See? And let me tell you right now. Right now in the Middle East, is the king of Syria? Is the king of Iraq? Is the king of Iran? Sure. Is all of them that's involved here? Why is he waiting? No, he was there all the time, you know. Remember, he was there all the time. But just invisible. Rome was the one behind all the wars. We found out in the seven trumpets. Out of the river Euphrates came forth them demons that kill off 1/3 part of the men. History says Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin and them. But we find out that they somehow is connected, if the Bible, because the Bible can't lie, to that Euphrates River. And then when the truth of this thing was being unveiled, it found out that they had agreement with the Vatican and they were being used by the Vatican and being brought to power by the Vatican. All these things, that is a proven fact. Exactly right. So we find out that the same way, that little horn, them 10 kings coming up the air, 5 from the east and 5 from the west. See? Them United Nations and how the prophet identified those things. But that little horn was not being seen. But then he tells you that iron is in every one of them. See? I want to get for you how that kingdom will be partly strong and partly broken. That fourth kingdom, it will be partly strong and partly broken. Because right out of that kingdom is where those 10 kings, God put in their heart to destroy their harlot. That's why communism and all this, and they give their power right now, but communism is not destroyed. Communist system is ineffective at this present time as an economic power. But Gorbachev never denounced communism. He tells them, you want to go in democracy, you go ahead. You want to go, you go ahead. You don't go. And he win the man of the decade for doing it. Sure. The king of the north, and he went to Babylon, and the Pope blessed Perestroika, and then the Pope is going to go to Russia, and he on the other hand, let the Catholic Church come back out from the basement, get them back freedom of religion. Sure. See? And because the Bible says God put in the heart to agree and to give the power, these 10 kings have one mind, these 10 toes. We're going to come back to it right now. Them same 10 toes. And to give their strength and power to the beast. You know, that little horn. That little horn, they're going to give the strength and power to him. You see? And he said the kingdom will be partly strong and partly broken. And the prophet says it's by marriage. They're trying to marry into one to break the seed. And I told you that, like when Atalia was married to Jehoram and trying to break the seed and these things. Well, there's all kind of marriages. Similarly, there's all kind of wars. There's all kind of marriages. You understand that? When Runcie went to the Pope, he put on a certain ring that the Pope gave him. And he wear that ring. And you know what he said? There was like a marriage. And just before he resigned, at the head of the English church, he signed over everything to Rome. Sure. And they had it all taken out there. And you know, it bought castles and everything. And he was, you know, looked down upon by a lot of the English people who felt that he sold out everything to Rome and he shouldn't do it. But all had to be done. There's all kind of marriage. There's political marriages. There's economic marriages. There's religious marriages. Sure. And marriages, just like in Trinidad, they had a marriage. Remember when the three parties had a marriage? To do what? Become strong to break the other power. Is that right? Partly strong and partly broken. And then what happened with it after a while? It couldn't stand. It had to break up. Exactly. You see, you go back in the world and see it. Have all kind of marriages. Because the marriage is to break the power. They'll mingle the seed. No, there'll be a marriage. I'm trying to show you, not just natural alone. You see, Protestant, raise them to turn Catholic, and these things when they marry a Protestant person too. On the religious side. Then on the economic side, the economic marriage. Right now they want to unite all. Marriage is a union, you know that? Well, they want to unite them nations. They have all them big corporates uniting together too. See? You have like Stevens and Johnsons, you see them? And you have this and that, and you know, it's marriages to join the powers together to become more powerful as one power. And that's exactly what it's going to do in the last is iron and clay
But it's going to be partly strong and partly broken because it's false union. And God help me, I want to bring a message on that, more on the personal side, to show anything that is in, that is false union will be partly strong and partly broken. And because of false union, that's why a lot of people can't strive on and the kingdom is being destroyed. It's falling apart. Their lives are falling apart because it's partly strong and partly broken because it's false union. Unless a man is really born again and come into a real union with the Word of God, and you try to put, Jesus, you try to patch an old piece of garment, a new piece of garment, you try to put new wine in old bottles, you watch, you're going to have problems. So, it has to be genuine, it has to be the true thing. Otherwise, there can be problems. And that's why I see many people, they really can't stand when the pressure starts, partly strong and partly broken. Sometimes it looks so strong on one side. And they look so, the Roman church that looks so strong will be broken in an hour. It'll be so weak and so fragile. The Communist Party looks so strong. We're broken up. Democracy looks so strong. It's all going to be broken up. You watch and see. Because you're going to come under one ruler who's going to take full control over everything. So Sunday we start on the fourth beast. So I trust you see how them first three beasts, how they come, how it goes back to those three metals, and how they blended back into history. Now friends, watch this. If the prophecy that has already become history was so perfect and so direct, and God give that part to be fulfilled before the last days, is that we could have faith that the last part would be fulfilled exactly the same way. So when you think that you may want to go along and don't take the word of God lightly and don't take earnest heed to those things, there will be no room for us. Because that word is going to come to pass as sure as anything else. And when we see those things already moving the air, in the earth, would we be getting so deep and entangling the affairs of this life and swell up in the world where we can even have a Christian testimony, where we can have influence, where we can manifest the power of the word, where we can even see the identification that the word that we have received in our hearts is working in and through us? Let me tell you, as a Christian, if you look in your heart and your life and can't see the word working this hour, something is wrong, radically wrong. You should be the most fearful person. You should be getting on your knees and seeking God. If you know, you believe the word is in you, but yet you can't see it working out through you. If you have received the word, friend, and the word can't come back out, there's something in you paralyzing the word. If you have received the word into your heart, that word have I hid in my heart, that I will not disbelieve thee, I will not sin against thee. If you have really received that word in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man believe in his heart, so is he. If you believe in the heart and confess with your mouth, you shall never be ashamed. That's where it starts, down that heart. This message was to turn the heart of the children back to the faith of their fathers. God has come to bring that heart right back to where it's supposed to be. And friends, I say, when Daniel saw the things in his day, in those visions coming to pass, I had such an effect upon them. What about us when we are seeing these things coming to pass? When we are seeing that God, by His grace, as much as we need to know and as much as going to unfold to us out of this word, God is going to make it plain in this very hour, because the conditions round about us are just ripe to reveal what lays in this book. What seems so mysterious that you struggle in your mind to get a hold of, it lays right there before us now to be revealed and inspired to us. And then if God tell Daniel, seal it up until the last day, and you could read it there plain and look around in history and identify it, then tell me what time we are living in. If Daniel had sought God for understanding, he had trouble for many days, and the angel Gabriel said, shut it up, Daniel, it's not for now. But them 10 tones ain't there yet. But when that time comes, I'll have a prophet to say, look Eisenhower, look Khrushchev. I'll have a prophet to say, look, that stone is coming. Look, the coming of the Lord is already being revealed. I'll have a prophet to say, look, where the beast was wounded and where it revived and come right back up. I'll have a prophet to identify where that city on seven hills is. I'll have a prophet to reveal these things. I'll have a prophet to show the very sign before I destroy all these Gentile kingdoms with fire. I'll have a prophet to show that just after his coming, the change of body to go into that new kingdom that will never be destroyed will be at hand. That when we are seeing these things, friends, we will know what time it is. You see, that is why when you get into teaching and into the prophetic things in the Word, and you begin to compare those things, that is not emotional. That is not how you feel, or whether you feel to serve God, or whether you feel to serve God. That is the naked truth, like if you're reading your papers, telling you, look so and so. That like again, over the TV, you come across to the radio saying, look so and so, what time it is. That like you're seeing the hand, the clock, striking the hour. That's not feeling now. That is saying, look, God said here, thousands of years before. Look, it's happening right here before your very eyes. Look where we ought to be right here. Where do you stand? What do you think about it? What is your decision as far as the things of God are concerned? That's exactly what coming to without feeling. Just to be sober. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Port of Spain nearly burned down this whole country, nearly going to chaos. Some of us maybe get excited and try to pray and call on God that day. Where are we tonight? Where are we standing tonight? Everything get back quiet and nice? We get back quiet and nice. Is that so? Condition, them kind of conditions don't move. If Port of Spain burning down was trying to get you desperate to serve God, and you've seen the Word of God being revealed and being placed to show you, that is far greater than whether you see the whole Caribbean sinking right now. Because this tells you, heaven will pass away, but the Word cannot fail. Friends, when we look at the Word, the naked Word like that, what it ought to do to us when we see it. It's not psychology. It's not some make-believe. It's not some scarecrow something. It's trying to say, look how faithful God is. Look how perfect God's Word is. Look how God perfectly foretold these things. Look what time we are living. That's what it tells us. It tells us that God keeps His Word. And if God keep them words that He spoke, how much more does God keep the other words? How much more that there's going to be a new ministry? How much more there's going to be a rapture in faith among the people? And how much more there's going to be a resurrection? And those things are going to appear to us in this very hour. See, Daniel saw right on until the resurrection, right on. He saw the millennium, all those things, and that one vision right there. He saw beyond the fourth kingdom, right into the other kingdom, right into the white throne judgment after the millennium, right on to the hereafter he had seen in those visions there. That is why the book of Daniel is just like Revelation. Because it reveals to us everything going right back out. And we, standing right there in those things, knows that it won't be long. We could count the years as months, count the months as days, any day now. It won't be long, friend. Jesus said, like a snare, it will come and take the whole world. For many will be caught up in the cares of this life. Many will just be going along, but Enoch had a testimony. Out of the midst of the world that's been caught, there are some people will be caught out. Not caught in, they'll be caught out. Because a revelation of rapture and grace, a revelation of the hour that they're living in, is inside their heart. And they have a testimony that they please God before they are translated. Many of us want to give a testimony down the road. But if you look at the scripture closely, your testimony is supposed to be now. Before you go out, the testimony is supposed to be now. Not next year, not the year after. Now. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes, God, when we preach a word like this, I wish I had some power greater, something that could make these things go right deep down into the heart of the people and drive all fears and all unbelief out and make them so fully persuaded, so convinced. The day Lord seen the reality, could just surrender all and become a love slave and a prisoner. But Lord, I'm reminded that we are just to speak it, Lord. Flesh and blood cannot reveal it. Sometimes the congregation never knows what goes through a pastor's heart. Preaching these things night after night is so real. Seeing these things, Lord, and then you want to see what kind of effect it ought to take in the church among the people. How it ought to make them live and how it ought to make them move. But it seems, Lord, that the power and the influence, many times of the things that we face and the things, Lord, that we go through in our daily lives, we cannot seem to see where these things fit in your word and what you are trying to work and achieve behind these things. So in the minds of many, it's like we're going through one thing and the world is something else. I pray, Lord, that you would cause hearts to come closer to you and deeper in your presence. Get into the spirit of revelation where we realize, Lord, that it could never be two different things. It's one thing. But we need understanding. And I pray, Lord, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation tonight would so move in the hearts of your children, the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. That these deep secret things that the Holy Spirit was supposed to come back, same as Gabriel came to Daniel, and reveal these things that the church would be ready to go out, Lord. What are these things, Father? God, I believe that this is you fulfilling that very promise, that it is the spirit of truth, bringing back our remembrance, teaching us all things, showing us things to come. As we sit in simplicity here night after night, oh God, to see that Paul way back 2,000 years ago could tell that early church about the coming of the Lord, keeping them on the expectations, keeping them watching and praying, keeping them steadfast, ready to give every man a reason of the hope inside of them. Though they didn't even live in that hour, Lord. But they had seen so much of this book of Daniel fulfilled and knew that they were in that fourth kingdom. And they had believed that maybe in a matter of years, they could have seen those 10 toes rise in the scene and the world system change and that little horn rise up and all those things. Because it was just the last remaining portion of the world to be fulfilled. So much from the head of gold to the iron, the legs of iron had been fulfilled in just a couple hundred years. No wonder they thought that that last portion could be so quickly fulfilled. There was such a desperation in their hearts, Lord. But oh God, here we today, Father, have had these things pointed out by the Holy Spirit. Had a vindicated prophet standing here with a pillar of fire, revealing these things. And the Spirit of God giving back a witness to the scriptures to show the infallibility of your word. 25 years have passed since then, Lord. And here tonight, we see so many things happening around the world, giving further testimony and witness to the authenticity of this book, of this message. Even the spirit of truth right here amongst us, confirming night after night that the time is at hand. Oh God, take your word, Lord, and make it ice out to the hearts of your children. Like Elisha
When he and that servant stood there, Lord, and he prayed, Lord, open the boy's eyes. I pray tonight, Father, open the eyes of your children, Lord. They can see. Like Jesus, when he broke that bread, and their eyes became open. They understood what he had spoken about in such a way that they went on to begin to testify everywhere. It drove back all gloom and depression from their lives and make them so enthusiastic about the word that those eyes open again, Lord. Lord, I remember one time that even you anointed a man's eyes and he was still seeing man like trees. In all humility, he confessed, he said, Lord, I'm still seeing man like trees. Open my eyes. And God, you who anointed his eyes the first time could have given him another anointing. You didn't rebuke him for unbelief, but sovereign grace anointed him a second time. Anoint us a second time, Lord. Oh, Jesus, may you grant it. Because we know we cannot live more effectively than how clear our vision is, Lord. I pray in out of the abundance of your grace and love for us, though unworthy we are, Lord, and so stiff-necked at times, and wayward and rebellious, yet, Lord, we pray that you would long-suffer and teach us how to mix that word with faith. Like that woman mixed that meal and the oil together, Lord. That could profit us much. It could bring life to us and to our homes. God, I pray for this church. You'll keep your people under prayer. So many, Lord, are being weakened and drifting aside and becoming cold. But Lord, may you keep us establishing your word. Keep us perseverant, Lord. God, keep us as a praying family, as a praying church. You showed us these things, Lord. To set our homes in order. To get our wives and our children around that altar of the word. We see so many, Lord, homes falling apart. And when we examine the cause, because of a lack of obedience to your word. Because of a lack of applying the word, Lord. So many see these things unnecessary. Because they think it's man speaking these things, Lord. Lord God, may you make these things so real in our hearts. That we can see that these things lead to a deeper Christian experience. It brings us to a closer walk. It brings us, Lord, to become rooted and established. And grounded, we become settled, even perfected, Lord. For your blessing is in your word, Lord. The more we can abide in that word abiding us, we can ask what we will. You and your word is the same. Help us tonight, Father. We leave this place to go to our homes. I pray we ponder these things, Lord. And we consider the day we are living in. We consider the vision, Lord. We understand the matter. As we feel the same spirit who gave this vision and who spoke to Daniel back there is now speaking to us, Lord. Because the times are hard. Father, we ask that you bring us back another time. Even on Sunday morning, should it tarry in the Lord's life, we could come, Lord, into your house early, praying, seeking your face, Not forgetting the prayer meeting on Friday night, Lord. God, how we need to be praying. Because, Lord, as we go into this book of Daniel, receiving when he wasn't revealing the word or receiving visions, he was in prayer. He was praying for revelation. He was praying for understanding. His prayer life was had meant so much to him that even, Lord, with threats of death, it could not stop him from praying. He would rather have that joy and fellowship with you in prayer than to live without it, Lord. It meant more than life to him. So I pray that the spirit of prayer and supplication would so move in their hearts of your people at this time. For we saw when Daniel saw the hour was at hand, when he read the prophet's writings, he realized it's time to go out, the time for restoration back to his homeland. That spirit of prayer began to move in his heart. Lord, may it have the same kind of experience with us. As we too see, it's a time of transition from one kingdom to the next. It's a time of restoration. Back to the Garden of Eden, Lord. Back to that real kingdom. May that spirit of prayer move in our hearts, Lord. May there not be one that would keep themselves away from your house, that would come seeking your face, finding that hidden power, Lord. Finding that sustaining strength where we can mount with the wings of an eagle, where we can run and be wary, we can walk and not faint. So the young men shall utterly faint and fall on the wayside. They get come faint and weary in the minds, and their feeble hands begin to hang down, and their feet begin to turn aside the path. Oh God, we know there's healing tonight. We know there's a place, Lord, we can enter and really wait upon you. We can be renewed in strength. May we find that place, Lord. Take us safe to our homes as we go down. Watch over us with a safe journey. There be someone tonight that you've spoken to in a special way, who feels in their heart, their God, that your Holy Spirit have done something for them, and they want to surrender their hearts unto you. They want to inquire and know more about these things, Lord, and to find out your will for their lives. I pray tonight, Lord, they will draw nigh unto you. We said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, I'll give you rest unto your souls. For he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God, realize if we have the opportunity now, one of these days it will be taken away from us. While we have this opportunity, may we embrace it, Lord. Knowing that your Holy Spirit is here to meet our every need. We thank you, Father, for the unfolding, for the unveiling of these divine truths. May it cause us to rise, Lord, and be prepared for this great thing that is fixing to happen. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, my prayer. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world may grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. God bless you. You have to leave now. May God go to you. You remain in your moment to understand. Pray, you can do so. And there's one that wants to maybe surrender their heart to the Lord Jesus. They can come forward if they want to be prayed for. They want to be instructed in what is the next step, how they should go. If they feel that God has dealt with them. But we are dismissed. If you have to go. of his glory. Oh, just turn your eyes, friend. Turn your eyes upon him tonight. See that smiting stone and rock. Oh, can you recognize him as Jesus? That's who it is. Just look full in his wonderful face. Might be a little mysterious to some, but it's he. Can you feel his presence? And the day of this earth will grow strange. Oh, in the light of his glory. Oh, soul, are you weary in trouble? Sing to your own soul tonight. Oh, soul, encourage yourself in the Lord. Oh, purpose in your heart like Daniel. Amen.